Hello, welcome to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris. In this month's episode, we find out whether our mate preferences change over time. We also look at how women's perceptions of men are related at the age at which they reach puberty, and continue last month's look at the interesting phenomenon of mate choice copying. This is the May edition of the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast from oraclelab.co.uk. As the old saying goes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And while it's true that research has shown that there are universally attractive traits that cause a person to appeal to pretty much everyone who judges them, we do know that differences in the people making the evaluations, or the beholders, are important too. What we don't yet know is how stable a person's preferences are. As a person's circumstances change over time, do their preferences follow suit? Do you find the same people attractive now that you did when I began this series of podcasts 12 short months ago? Krzysztof Kaczynski of Adam Mickiewicz University in Poland recently published the results of a study that aimed to test this very question. He recruited 200 women and had them rank photographs of 30 men in order of attractiveness three times over. First for their attractiveness as a short-term partner, then as a long-term partner, and finally as a friend. Half of the women returned to the laboratory 1 month later to repeat the process. The second half of the women instead returned to the lab a full 12 months after the first session. Kaczynski found that the ratings changed slightly after a month, but the amount they changed after a whole year was no greater. Women's preferences seemed to be pretty constant, at least over this mid-range timescale. The men's faces were classified as having a friendly or unfriendly appearance, and Kaczynski did find that women who'd broken up with a partner during the year tended to express a stronger preference for friendly-looking men after their breakup than they did before. This could be because being single refocuses a person's mating priorities in favour of seeking out a new long-term mate, because we know that women tend to prefer friendly men for a long-term relationship. So you can rest assured that the man you started dating this week will probably still be attractive in a year's time. Unless, of course, you've broken up with him. Now that's my kind of logic. Our preferences might not change very much over the course of a year, once we're an adult, but one of the most significant life changes occurs at puberty, when we first become interested in the idea of romantic relationships. For some time, we've known that the timing of puberty is related to certain outcomes later in life. For example, women who begin their menstrual cycle at a younger age tend to have children earlier and be overrepresented amongst victims of sexual assault. Because improved healthcare and nutrition, as well as increasing environmental pollution, are implicated in lowering the age at which women reach puberty, we might predict that teenage pregnancy will become more common in developing and industrial nations as time goes on. What we don't yet know is whether an earlier onset of menstrual cycling, also known as the menarche, is related to how women perceive men. Stefan Bellis of the University of Dortmund in Germany carried out a series of studies in this area using an interesting methodology. First, he had 50 young women complete a task that required them to identify as quickly as possible whether a word that was flashed up on screen was positive or negative. For example, the word honest is positive, while the word barbarous is negative. But before the women saw and rated each word, a man or a woman's face was flashed up on screen for 150 milliseconds, barely enough time to get a proper look at it. What can this kind of task tell us about how women perceive men? Well, we know from previous research that people are able to more rapidly identify whether a word is positive or negative if they're first presented with a so-called priming stimulus that's also positive or negative. If you see a negative prime, even for a very short moment, this makes it easier to identify a word like avaricious as negative, and if you see a positive prime, you'll be able to classify words like righteous as positive in a slightly shorter time. So, if we see that a certain type of face makes a person respond faster or slower to either positive or negative words, we can tell if they like or dislike those faces. We don't have to ask them directly about the faces, which is handy because it means we can rely on their responses to be truthful, because it's not possible to fake how fast we can classify the words. Bellis found that when women saw female primes, the age at which they experienced menarche wasn't related to the difference in reaction time when responding to positive or negative words. But when they saw male primes, they were faster off the mark when it came to spotting negative words if their menarche was earlier. To put it another way, women who had their first period when they were younger found male faces more aversive than women who had their first period when they were older. But age of menarche didn't affect how the women felt about female faces. If the average age at which women experience their first menstrual cycle continues to get lower, as current trends suggest it will, then this might have really important effects on how women view men. Last month, I introduced the concept of mate choice copying, That's when our judgments of a person's attractiveness are influenced by the choices of others. For example, you might find a particular person attractive, but if you notice that someone else finds them attractive too, the strength of your own attraction could increase. And this effect would be stronger if the person whose choice you were copying was also attractive, because we preferentially copy the choices of attractive people. The problem with a lot of research in this area is that it often uses as stimuli photographs of men and women, and the participant has to accept that these photographs depict real romantic couples. An advantage of this method, of course, is that it allows us to tightly control the appearance of the couples, which helps us to properly interpret the behaviour of anyone who sees the photographs. But it's not a very realistic situation. It lacks what psychologists call ecological validity, because it doesn't reflect how people interact in the real world. Skylar Place and colleagues of Indiana University sought to remedy this in a study published this month in the journal Evolution and Human Behaviour. She had men and women rate the attractiveness of a series of photographs of opposite sex persons. These were the target individuals. Next, the participants watched videos in which those same targets were seen interacting with opposite sex persons as part of a speed dating session. For clarity, we'll call these people the models. The participants also saw two types of video, ones in which the target and model were interested in each other, and ones where they didn't seem to get on. After they saw the videos, the participants rated the photographs of the targets for a second time. If watching the videos affected how the participants perceived the targets, we'd expect their ratings of the photographs to change after they saw the videos. Place found that after participants viewed couples who were interested in each other, their rating of the target's attractiveness increased. After they saw couples who didn't get on, their ratings of the target became lower. In other words, they copied the choices of the model. An interesting difference between male and female participants was that men tended to be more strongly influenced by perceived interest between the target and the model, while women tended to be more strongly influenced by disinterest. If a man saw that the model was interested in the target, his rating of the target's attractiveness shot up, whereas women's ratings of the target fell through the floor if the target and model weren't getting on. This might mean that men copy the choices of others to inform who they find especially attractive, whereas women make use of social information to rule out men in whom they would otherwise be interested. That's all for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the research featured in today's show, head over to www.oraclelab.co.uk and click on podcasts. You can also keep up with new research throughout the month by following Oracle Lab on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris.